Well, good morning, church, and it is so good to see you this morning. For the six of you who were here last week, okay, maybe it was closer to 60, but it is just so good to be able to gather here, and thank you for coming this morning. My name is Tyler, I'm the discipleship pastor here, and it's just a joy to continue this morning in our series called Elements, looking at these spiritual disciplines for discipleship. And I mean, for many of you, I know you weren't able to be here last week. You couldn't even escape your driveways with Snowmageddon happening again as we welcome the third winter of Calgary. Just as a reminder, like, our sermons are available online. You can listen to them on our website. You can connect with our iTunes account as well and stream them that way. We don't want you to miss anything in this series, especially last week, as we kind of set the tone for where we're going this morning. So I'd encourage you, if you missed that, I'll recap a little bit for you this morning, but I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Last Sunday, as we launched into the series, we looked at the question, what does it take to live a self-disciplined life? Like, if we're to grow in our faith, our mission here at Westview is we exist to make fully devoted followers of Jesus. So if we're going to see that happen in our own lives, what is that going to take? We talked about this last week, saying that there's going to need to be a plan, that this isn't just going to happen by accident. This isn't just going to happen by osmosis, is that there needs to be some sort of plan, that we need these habits and practices and ultimately these spiritual disciplines to help us become all that Christ is asking us to become. And so last week, we defined spiritual disciplines as this, and it'll be on the screen behind me. We said it's a spiritual exercise that has the sole purpose of bringing us closer to God in character and behavior, and opens us up to what God is saying to us. And we looked at this again last week, because when we come to a series like spiritual disciplines, I think that for some of us, when we look at all of these disciplines, perhaps for some of us, we look at this list and we say, okay, in order for God to accept me, in order for me to experience his love, then I need to do all of these things. And we talked about these two lenses that we look at sometimes at them, the lens of religion and the lens of the gospel. And we said the lens of religion is where we say, I need to do all of this in order that God accepts me and loves me. And for some of us, we've been raised in those types of traditions where we feel that we're oppressed by this never-ending ability to get there, of this place of arrival that we feel we need to be at. And I said, the reality is we need to look at the lens of the gospel and say, God accepts us, loves us, so much so that then out of the overflow and the abundance of that, we joyfully participate and engage in these disciplines. Not to earn God's love, but because of God's love. We joyfully do these things. Again, not out of duty, but out of delight. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you for this morning, for the privilege of gathering together as the body of Christ. And I pray in a sermon like this, that I would decrease and you would increase. That you would speak word of God, speak to each one of us this morning. Meet us where we are, but draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. What have been some of the most significant life decisions you've ever made? If you were to think about that for a second, possibly it might be, you know, where you decided to go to college. Or maybe what career path to choose, or perhaps who to marry. Or maybe it wasn't any of those, but it was simply this morning whether or not to wake up and have a shower. And thank you this morning. You smell great. It's so nice. I mean, we're called to be the aroma of Christ, but on behalf of the pastoral team, thank you for choosing that one this morning. But what about this? What about where you choose to live? You see, for me, it's kind of an interesting experience, because my parents still live in the same home that I grew up in. When we go back to Ladner, a suburb of Vancouver, and we go and visit my family, they're still in the same house that I was born basically into. My old room is the guest room, and nothing has changed. There's still wood paneling on the basement walls. It's beautiful. Okay, they've done some upgrades. My mom's going to hear this, and she's going to... But since being married to Charity, my life has been very different. We have lived in 4 different cities in 2 different... Figuring out where you live is a big deal. Because there's a lot of factors that go into something like that. And I would say that deciding where we live is probably one of the most important decisions we ever make in our lives. Why? Because where we live says a lot about who we are, and it says a lot about what we value. Because the reality is where we live affects how we live. And I think that principle is equally true in our lives of discipleship. That when we live in the Word of God, slowly but surely over time, it shapes not just who we are, but it shapes what we become. And that's what this morning is about. This morning, as we look at our first in our series of spiritual disciplines, we look at Scripture. And more specifically, 3 things this morning: reading, studying, and living in God's Word. And so this morning, my first point that I want us to look at is this idea of reading the Scriptures. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. I mean, it's not only just the longest at 176 verses, but it's also a psalm that deals most directly with the topic of Scripture. Portion of that this morning, and I'm going to invite us to do something that I know I've done a few times around here, but I'm going to invite God's Word with me this morning. We're in Psalm, as I said, Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. The words are again on the screen behind me, but let me read this for us. This translation: How can a young person stay pure? Well, by obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me hands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. This is the word of God. Please be seated this morning. David, who is the likely author of this psalm, uses a number of synonyms in this text to describe the Scriptures. And his intention is clear that if we desire to grow in our understanding of the knowledge of God, the first and foremost thing we need to do is to be in the Scriptures. That David demonstrates this engaging with the Word of God, that it holds for himself significant benefit for his life. He sees the fruit from a life of being faithful to the Word of God. And so can the same be said of us today? Can the same be said of us this morning? And I would hope and believe that it would be true, but the data out there is alarming. A recent study by Lifeway said this. They said that only about 45% of those who regularly attend church read their Bibles more than once a week. It went on to say that over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. And almost 1 in 5 churchgoers, 20%, say they never read their Bible. Essentially the same number who read it every day. So what does this all mean for us as we've gathered here to sit under God's word this morning? Well, I think what it means is because we don't read God's word, we simply don't know it. Maybe because for me, technology is something that is just normal. It's just something I've embraced and I recognize as being an invaluable tool in my life. I'm of the persuasion that when it comes to reading the Bible, I am less concerned about how you're reading it and more concerned about how often you're reading it. So let me give you 3 tips this morning. 3 things that I believe will help us to be a people who are in the Word. And the first one is this, is maybe you need an audiobook. There are great digital means of being able to listen to the Scriptures. I mean, how many of us spend on average about 30 minutes to an hour commuting to work every day? What do you do with that time? What do you do with those moments? Do you just simply listen to whatever's on the radio? Or perhaps if you have the ability to, do you spend that time listening to the Word of God? Because we need to remember that the original audience and culture of Scripture heard the Word far more than they read it. And so do we spend that time redeeming our commutes and spending time listening to the Word of God, soaking in it as we spend time driving to work to and from? Or maybe this is another option for you to engage more with the Scriptures. I'd encourage you to read them in one sitting. Read a book of the Bible in one sitting. There was an amazing infographic that came out recently through the people at Crossway. And what they did is they looked at each of the books of the Bible and said, how many minutes roughly would it take to read these Scriptures in their entirety from beginning to end? So if you wanted to read the book of Ruth, you could do so probably during the sermon. It only takes about 14 minutes, and I'm totally okay with that if you're in the Scriptures. You'll learn something good, I tell you. Same amount of time, actually, as it takes to read the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books in all of the Bible, 14 minutes. Or maybe you want to read the book of James. That'll take you just 1 minute more at 15 minutes, cover to cover. Feeling a little bit more adventurous, how about if you want to dive into the book of Romans? That'll take you about 57 minutes to read. And if you really want to get wild and you want to read the entirety of Exodus, prepare for about 2 hours and 51 minutes. Doable. It's not that hard. Because I believe that if we spend time reading the Scriptures from beginning to end, we find ourselves in the history and we find ourselves in the story and in the culture, rather than simply just seeing blips of Scripture on an Instagram or a Facebook post every morning as you wake up. You get the entire scope of what God is speaking to his people, to us. And the third thing this morning that I want to challenge you with perhaps is this: read your Bible without chapter or verse references. I mean, the reality is verses in our Scriptures didn't emerge until about the 1500s, and chapters are even still only around since about 1200 AD. So for us, a few years ago, we did something called the story, and what we did is we took a look at the Scriptures as a story without chapters and verses, because sometimes for some of us, we get distracted by those pieces and they just kind of cut us off, rather than reading the Scriptures as the story of God in its entirety. And so I want to encourage you this week, perhaps engage in some of those opportunities to be someone who is in the Scriptures, if that's going to make it easier for you. Because again, my question to us this morning, as it was last week, is what's driving us? And not just that, but how are we going to get to where we need to be? How are we going to get to that final destination? What is our plan to grow in our faith? And that brings us to our second point this morning, is that we need to study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 declares, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." Our second text this morning reminds us that there is rich value in the Scripture. And I think it's good for us to remember this morning that finding these times of being intentional and studying the Scriptures will do much for us to grow in our discipleship. One of the greatest gifts these last few years for me was being back in seminary, working towards the completion of my master's degree, and just being back in an environment, being back in a space where you simply just study the Scriptures with others. I mean, it's why we gather together as a church. It's why we come on a Sunday morning. It's why we brave a blizzard. It's why we shovel the snow off our cars. It's because we want to get together in community and we want to study the Word. That we know that this is good for us to do. That it brings God glory and it brings us joy that we have the privilege of studying the Scriptures together. So why do we need to do this? Well, I think there's two main reasons from our text this morning why Paul says we need to study the Scriptures. And the first one is this, is because Scripture is inspired, meaning it's from God. That the Scriptures are from God for his people. in the cultures and contexts for which they were first written and for us today in 2019. 2 Peter 1, 21, 20 to 21, sorry, says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. That what we have here in our hands is God's word for us. That it is inspired, that it is God's heart on the page for us, his people. And so we recognize that it is a gift of God for us, that we are to steward it and treasure it and read it and study it because God is speaking to us through it. And the second thing this morning is that Scripture is useful, meaning it is powerful and it has a purpose for us. Isaiah 55:11 declares, "It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want to do and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Last week I mentioned an author, Richard J. Foster, who wrote The Celebration of Disciplines. And again, I suggest getting this book. It's a central book that'll be used much in this series. Says this: many Christians remain in bondage to fears and anxieties simply because they do not avail themselves of the discipline of study. They may be faithful in church attendance and earnest in fulfilling their religious duties, and still they are not changed. They may sing with gusto, pray in the Spirit, live as obediently as they know, even receive divine visions and revelations, and yet the tenor of their lives remains unchanged. Why? Well, because he goes on to say this, because they have never taken up one of the central ways God uses to change us. Study. I mean, look at what Jesus says in John 8:32. He says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I mean, if you're here this morning and you feel like you're living in a life of anxiety, of bondage, of struggle, that you seem to have stalled out or maybe even stopped entirely. For those of you who were here last week, I used the illustration of I used to play the clarinet in from grade 4 all the way to grade 12, 10 years of playing this instrument day after day after day, and then just in an instant, I just stopped when I graduated. And I think the same is true of us in our lives, that there are moments where we just stop. For no real good reason, but we just stop. And if that's you this morning, then perhaps this journey towards freedom begins again by knowing Jesus. And not just knowing about Jesus, but by truly knowing Jesus. You ever signed up for something and you read the terms, the licensing terms? You ever sign up for an iTunes account or anything like that, right? And there's like 80 pages of terms and licensing. You don't read it. Like, let's be honest, you just scroll to the bottom until the accept button illuminates and you click accept. And I think sometimes that's the danger of us, is that we treat the Scriptures that way. We simply say, I have the product. I don't need to read anything else. I've got Jesus. Isn't that enough? We need more. We need to study. We need to know Christ, because of who he is and what he has done. As we continue to come out of Easter, we continue to live in the reality that Christ's death on the cross was taking on our sin in our place. And now we live in the freedom that Christ is alive, and that we have the chance to know this living God through his word. And so let me give you 4 steps this morning as we study the Scriptures. First, repetition. That this regular rehearsal of reading will give us the ability to recall what we read. Here's another confessional from my high school days. I was a band geek, self-proclaimed. We've gone through that already. Okay, I was also a bit of a drama nerd, so I kind of echo both sides of the equation here. In grade 10, I found myself with a pretty significant role in Charles Dickens' play Great Expectations. If you've ever read it or seen it, I was Uncle Pumblechook, this jolly fat guy. I didn't even need a belly bag. at that point in my life. And so I fit the character well, but I had never truly read that much text and had to learn it and memorize it. And I was just so anxious as to how I was going to be able to pull off this performance. And you know what? It was just by the regular reading and repetition of my lines over and over and over again to when it came to performance date, I could just speak as if it was me, as if these were my words. And I think the same comes to us as we look at the scriptures, is that journey, that method, that process of repetition to read them over and over and over again so that then they just flow. They just flow out of us. The second is this, is concentration. I challenged this last week. I said, we are a far too easily distracted culture. That we have so much going on that distracts us and draws us away from what God is asking of us to be there intentionally in His Word. And so we need to make time, find time, carve out, be ruthless with the time that we have so that we spend it with Him in His Word. The third one is comprehension. That we need to understand what is being said. The word will speak to us. I mean, how many times have you read a passage over and over again, and then all of a sudden you have one of those aha moments where something you've read and you've seen that hundreds of times just leaps off the page to you. And it's as if God is speaking to you and just you in that moment. We need to comprehend what is being said. And lastly, we need reflection. And what reflection does is it defines the significance of what we are studying. And reflection brings us to see things from God's perspective. And so if we look at Psalm 119 again, there's a few scripture pieces within that that help us again understand David and his heart for the scriptures. In verse 73, we read that he learns the scriptures. In verse 155, he seeks the word. In 153, he has it memorized. In verses 23, 27, 48, 52, and 117, he meditates on it. He spends this intentional time in focused prayer and contemplation and concentration on the very word of God. David has this zeal, this unique passion in his life for the scriptures. Do we have that same passion this morning, church? And I think it's important for us to recognize, I don't want to venerate David because David is no saint, but David did enough in his life that distanced himself from his God, that failed to live up to the standards that we are called to live out. David committed more than enough sin. But yet he was still called a man after God's own heart. But I think what David failed to do sometimes is our third point this morning, is he failed to live in the scriptures. Again, I go back to my question I asked you this morning, is what is one of the most important decisions you ever made? And I think it's where we live. Because again, where we live affects us, molds us, shapes us. When Charity and I moved here almost 5 years ago, our heart was that we would find a home somewhere close to Westview. We had moved from Coaldale, which is just a small town outside of Lethbridge, and I mean, everything's 2 minutes away from everything at that point. And so we loved the ability to be close to the church and to have that relationship with the people around us. But if you remember life 5 years ago, homes were selling in a day. Hours even, homes would disappear off the market before you could even get there, it felt like, to see it. And such was our experience. We came up here on July 2nd, and we had 24 hours to find a home. And the home we found was just a little bit outside of a kind of area where we desired. It had multiple offers, over a dozen showings in one day. And by God's grace, we received it, and we were able to close on it. And so we call our home in Coventry Hills, which is like the wannabe northwest of Calgary, right? Like you can kind of pretend you're still in the northwest and feel embraced and welcomed by the northwest, but you're actually the northeast. Thank you for loving and appreciating and tolerating us. But it's that reality for us because where you live affects you. It shapes you. It molds you. And it's the same as it comes to if we live in Scripture. 2 points as we begin to close out this morning. We need to live in the Word. We need to live in the Word. Our time in it needs to be, as I have said, it needs to be intentional. We need to make time for it. We need a plan. This isn't just going to happen by accident or by osmosis, that we need to be intentional. And the second thing is we need the Word to live in us. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Is your life a place where the Word of God dwells richly? Jesus tells the story, a parable of the soils. And there's a number of different soils in this parable that we hear. And my question to you is this morning is, what is the soil of your soul? What is the soil of your soul this morning? Is it rich and is it fertile, where the Word of God in seed takes root and grows into something beautiful and it flourishes? Or is the soil of your soul something where it's rocky and it's thorny and it just gets choked whenever it begins to sprout up? Or maybe it's shallow and it's rocky, and even if those seeds begin to penetrate the hard topsoil, even as they begin to sprout, the sun scorches them and they're dead. What is the soil of your soul this morning? And is the Word of God alive and taking root in it? We need to become students of the Scriptures, much like David was, spending time in it, learning, studying, and living the Scriptures. And again, all of this needs to be done not through the lens of religion that says, I do this so that God will love me and accept me, but because I am accepted and loved by Him. That I joyfully, in delight, not in duty, embrace and engage with excitement the very Word of God that He has given to us. And this morning, as we partake in communion, we do so experiencing again the Word of God made flesh, Jesus, giving us this opportunity that as we gather around the communion table to partake and experience something that nourishes us, that sustains us, that feeds us, even as we partake in the bread and of the cup, these nourishing elements, I think they point us to something greater. They point us to Jesus and the living Word of God. And are we nourished by it? This bread of life, this living water that we have in Christ. And this morning,